As you decide to follow Jesus, there is a new sphere of difficulty that comes. There's opposition. We know that when we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, when we exhibit His righteousness, there will be those who may cast insults and say all kinds of things falsely on account of Him.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Now, Dave, today is election day, and I just want to share my opinion, and there's nothing officially from Equipping the Saints, but this is my opinion. And I just want to encourage each and every listener, if you haven't voted already, to get out and vote. No matter what you think, use the privilege God has given you to vote. And this election couldn't be any clearer. You see, we have one candidate from a party that supports death, abortion, all that wickedness, all under the guise of women's rights. Well, no, it's not women's right. No one has a right to kill anyone. And we have another candidate who supports the sanctity of life and many other things that we agree with as believers. And so with that in mind, we need to choose the candidate that most supports righteousness, whether we agree with them or not. And so get out and vote. It is so important that you do so. If you haven't done so, go do it right now and then come back and listen to a recording of this message. But get out and vote. Okay, with that said, let's get to our passage, Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 22.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Now, you don't have to take a poll to know if life is hard or not. It's difficult. Whether you talk to a non-believer or a believer, you're asking if life is hard, I think they're probably going to say yes. The reality is we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is cursed temporarily. We live in a world that sin and sinners seem to be reigning. And those of us who've come to faith in Jesus, we still struggle with indwelling sin. We still struggle with failures. And as you decide to follow Jesus, there is a new sphere of difficulty that comes. There's opposition. We know that when we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, when we exhibit His righteousness, there will be those who may cast insults and say all kinds of things falsely on account of Him. We know that we're to rejoice and be glad, but it still is difficult. We know that in this world we will have trouble. But the Lord said, take courage, that He has overcome the world. And so with that in mind, as we choose to follow Jesus in this short-term life before our eternal reality, how can we endure when that serving becomes difficult? Well, today we're going to see in the final portion on Ezekiel's call how the Lord reveals, I believe, how we can endure and be strengthened in the midst of difficult ministry. With that in mind, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 27. Now again, we recognize that Israel disobeyed the Lord over and over again, and God brought forth the discipline and the judgment that He had predicted in Deuteronomy upon them, first with the northern kingdom in 722, being exiled by Assyria, and then with the southern kingdom. And that's really what is the context of our book here. We know that in 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, the new reigning world emperor over Babylon and thus the world, as we see, sieges one of his last problems, which was Jerusalem. And within that, the first siege, he took some captives, Daniel and his friends. And then in 597 B.C., Jerusalem was sieged again, and 10,000 Jews were taken captive, including Ezekiel. And we know that from chapter 1, that 5 years later, Ezekiel began his ministry in captivity. And that's the portion we've been looking at that timing. And then in 588 to 586, we have the third and final siege of Jerusalem, where the walls were torn down, city destroyed, temple destroyed, and many killed, and the rest taken in a final captivity, the gruesome ordeal. Now, this book of Ezekiel, as I've mentioned, is centered around this third and final 18-month siege. The first 24 chapters are prophecies before that siege. The second portion, between 25 and 32, are prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then chapter 33 are prophecies after the siege. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be taken captive, and yet the voices of false assurance had taken root even in Babylon. Those same ones that God had warned through Jeremiah about, who would say peace and safety, and God isn't going to do what these other people are saying. That's what they would say, peace and safety, but yet God had made it clear that he had made up his mind to take his people into exile for 70 years based on their disobedience. And so he was calling upon them to repent, but the false prophets were saying everything's fine. And so Ezekiel is prophesying to these captive people. Now, within that, we came to chapter 1 where we saw Ezekiel saw visions of God. He saw that storm coming and the flashing lightning and the one in the middle, the one on the throne, as we'll see. We had the explanation of the cherubim and the wheels and the expanse and then the throne above the expanse and the one, the form of a man, appearance of a man on the throne. And his glory shone all through like a rainbow. We saw that it really points to God's faithfulness in the midst of judgment. But this storm was coming from the north. And in the middle of that storm, the Lord God on his throne is bringing it, as we see. And within that, Ezekiel fell down on his face. And then in chapter 2, the Lord got him up, as we'll see. The Lord picked him up by his spirit, and he began to commission him. And we saw that. We saw that he was going to be sent to the captive people, those who were in rebellion and would continue in the rebellion, and they wouldn't listen. They would be stubborn and obstinate, and it would be like he is in the midst of thorns and thistles and sitting on scorpions. It's going to be a difficult ministry for him. But he was not to fear their words, nor fear them, whether they listened or not. He was to speak God's word. And then we saw the Lord illustrating how we receive God's word in our heart with a physical illustration of Ezekiel taking that scroll and being told to eat it and partake it, that scroll which had lamentations, mourning, and woe upon it, really symbolizing the message that Ezekiel would be sending and bringing out, that God would bring through him. And he brought it forth, and he did. And again, it was sweet as honey to his mouth, but yet, as we see, Ezekiel was embittered over what would have to be done. And he was to go to the people of Israel, but they would be unwilling to listen to him because they were unwilling to listen to the Lord. And then the Lord made it clear he would strengthen Ezekiel. He would make his face as hard as theirs and his forehead as hard as theirs. He would strengthen him to this ministry, this difficult ministry. Then we saw that angelic scene again as he's picked up and the angels are moving and all this. And then he sat at the river Shebar for 7 days, causing consternation among the exiles. And then last week we saw the Lord again appoint him as a watchman, one who is to warn those for God. He is to warn those God warns, and he is responsible for warning them, or their blood would be on his hands. And so this ministry would be difficult. And I believe through this we can gain some principles today on how we can endure the difficulties that serving the Lord will bring us when we trust him and obey him. So then, Ezekiel 3:22, and the hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself up in your house. As for you, the son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be dumb and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God. He who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Now, as we look at this, and as we've been looking at Ezekiel's commission, some of you might be tempted to say, what does this have to do with me? I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to teach, and that may be true. Not all teach, right? Not all preach. We have differing gifts that God has chosen by His Spirit and His sovereignty, and they all function together to bring about His purpose and His will. But what we do know is that this certainly applies to those who are called to preach, and it also applies to those who are called to listen to those who preach. You need to know what God requires of those who are to be sharing the word with you. You see, we have a problem in the United States these days in churches. People just choose their church based on their own desire, not based on the word of God. It should be based on what God says, and do those who bring forth the word bring it forth in accordance with God's word, or are they doing it in accordance with their own desires, stamping God's name all over it like the false prophets Jeremiah spoke of? So with that in mind, it does apply to all of us. So then how can we accomplish the difficult ministry of the word? And, you know, that's the ministry I have. So you'll see what difficulty certainly those who preach have. And you can pray for me in that way and understand that and help in those ways too. How can we do it? Well, first of all, I think in review, we need to understand there is a life and death responsibility. And that's upon the one who shares the word. It's a life and death responsibility. And you need to recognize that concerning me. It's a life and death responsibility to share His word. Now, let's just briefly review what we saw last time concerning the watcher. I think it's really important. It's going to be reviewed later on in chapter 33. We're going to see it partially in chapter 18. And so it's really important. Notice in verse 16, "Now it came about the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, I have appointed you a watcher into the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me.'" It's God warning through Ezekiel, and he is to take his word. Now, this is a time where God spoke through the prophets in many fortunes, in many ways, but now he has spoken through his son. We know for us, the way it applies now is we have the word once for all delivered. And so we're to preach it. We're to obey God and preach His word. But here Ezekiel is to take what He gives him specifically and to share it. It is God's word. And so he has no choice. He's been appointed. He doesn't say, let's see, should I go to seminary or should I go to medical school? What should I do? Should I become a pastor? I hear people at times, they say, I thought that, you know, it's not up to you. God's going to lead you as you are following Him, walking in His Spirit. He's going to make evident your gifting, and He's going to use that in the body of Christ. It's not up to you. You're going to have a compelling drive by Him to do what He calls you to do. If you don't, if you're just choosing it, that is a problem. I think we have a lot of, hirelings in the church these days. Those who are in it for their own career or whatever it might be. Career, we heard of career politicians. We have career preachers, sadly. But here, Ezekiel has no choice. He is to warn them from me. He's a watcher of the house of the living. And notice in the phrase here, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die." I'm just going to briefly go through the points of these verses. You can hear the whole thing we did last week, okay? He's to say to the wicked, when the Lord says it, you shall surely die. Dying, you shall die. It's absolutely going to happen. Did you know the wages of sin is death? You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin brings forth death, separation from God, and eternal separation from God if you die in your sins. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But they're to be warned. And you might remember we looked at Ezekiel 18 where the Lord said in verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die." Now, we also know that the Lord shared in that same chapter through Ezekiel that He declared for them to repent and turn away from their transgressions so that the iniquity may not become a stumbling block, that are cast away their transgressions which they've committed, that are make a new heart and a new spirit. That's through trusting in Jesus, by the way, or in that their time, trusting in the Lord and the seed of Abraham who would come and die for their sins. It says here, for why will you die? And the Lord says to you, why would you die in your sins? He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent. The Lord doesn't want you to die in your sins. So He's declaring to you and to all men everywhere to repent, because He's fixed a day in which He will judge the world through one man having furnished proof by raising Him from the dead. So then, there are consequences to sin. And so he's to warn the wicked. And this is a pretty stern warning. The wages of sin, that he may live from his wicked way, that he might turn and live. What happens if they don't repent? End of verse 18. The wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Terrible thing. You don't want to die in your sin. Because if you die in your sin, you will forever bear that sin in punishment in the lake of fire. God in his righteous, holy judgment must judge. The wonderful thing is he poured that judgment on Jesus in your place. And you can be saved now. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, what if Ezekiel doesn't warn him? What if Ezekiel isn't a good watchman? What if he's a lazy watchman? What if he leans on his understanding and says, well, I shouldn't warn them because they won't come to church. I should do something more exciting for them. Well, what if he did that? He says here, if Ezekiel doesn't warn, end of 18, but his blood I will require at your hand. There is a huge responsibility which we need to recognize for those who are called to share God's word. And you need to pray for me. You need to pray for those who are called to do so. You're part of it. We're ministering together. You're part of it. We're a body. It's the body of Christ. Differing gifts, all to accomplish his will. You see, I'm called to preach his word in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. We know that those who were faithful, we see in Scripture, such as Paul, didn't have any blood in their hands. They didn't have any blood. Paul would tell the Ephesian elders in his final words, he says, therefore I testify, Acts 20, verse 25, to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel or purpose of God. That's what it's about. You declare God's word, you're innocent. You do not declare it, you have blood on your hands. And the Apostle Paul, even in sharing the gospel to those in Corinth and other places who didn't listen, he says, your blood be on your heads, I'm clean. When they didn't respond, it's on them. So Ezekiel's to warn the wicked. If he doesn't, the blood of them is on his hands. Now, we also saw what happens if Ezekiel does warn the wicked. Verse 19, yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. You are not personally responsible, Ezekiel, if they don't respond. You see, I think people are very prideful. They get into a prideful thought of their congregations that how they respond is based on what you say or do. And guess what? People can manipulate people really well with their words. And people will follow people and follow words rather than someone just declaring God's word and leaving it where it is. Yet, we see here, there's also another possibility we saw last week. Not just are there the wicked that Ezekiel will be ministering to, those exiles who would claim the name of the Lord, there's also those who are so-called righteous who stray. It says here in verse 20, and again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, notice it's his righteousness, he appears to be righteous. You see, when you have the righteousness of Christ, he will manifest that in your behavior. We see that Abraham was righteous because he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteous. Righteousness is a manifestation of a righteousness through faith. But there are those who have it for a while, but they stray from it. You see it. And he says here, and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. Hey, righteous men don't die in their sin. This is a guy who appeared to be righteous but strayed because he really wasn't righteous. People, there's lots of people like that in church. They appear to be following the Lord. I'll tell you that right now. They appear to be righteous. But evidently their sin comes out eventually. And you better warn those, the speaking gifts, preaching. And so here it says, he will die in his sin, his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Zeke, if you don't warn him, it's on you now, again. I would ask the pastors who are going to be listening here, can you say that you are innocent of the blood of all men? That you did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel or anything that was profitable? Can you say that with a clear heart? If you can't, you need to get on your knees and repent. You need to step down from ministry and repent. And let God restore you if that be the case. You need to get down from preaching the word because you failed. And you have blood in your hands. But God's a gracious God. He forgives. I pray that you do so. I pray that you ask for forgiveness. So, what happens if Ezekiel warns the righteous and they repent? Verse 21. However, if you warn the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he surely shall live because he took warning. You have delivered yourself. Huge responsibility. So how can we endure the difficulties? First of all, if you know that it's difficult for me with this huge responsibility, you need to be praying for me, right? You're praying for those and praying for individual circumstances where God opens the door. You know, we call each other. We put prayer requests out. Hey, I'm going to share the Lord with so-and-so, whatever it might be. We need to be praying. It's a huge responsibility if the Lord is leading, right? It's a huge responsibility. Extremely serious.
God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live.
So how can we accomplish the difficult task of the ministry of the word? To recognize there's a life and death responsibility. Life and death. Eternal life and death. It's a responsibility for those who share the word. And that brings us to our passage today, where I believe we're going to see four things. We're going to see four things that point to the fact that God empowers those who trust and obey. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Yep. Now, the first thing we're going to see is that obedience leads to an accurate view of God, or maybe better said, obedience takes away the obscurity of our view of God that is caused by sin. You see, when we're sinning, when we're not walking with the Lord, we're not seeing things rightly. And when we're walking rightly, that is removed and we see things rightly, especially the Lord in the context of how he has revealed himself in his word. Our passage, "And the hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, get up and go out, verse 22, to the plain, then there I will speak to you. So I got up and I went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face." So Ezekiel has been appointed as a watchman, and the hand of the Lord was on him there. We've seen this. We saw this back in chapter 1, verse 3. The hand of the Lord was on him. We see it in chapter 3, verse 14, the same phrase. We see it throughout the book here. It speaks of God's supernatural power upon him, his supernatural hand upon him in a sense. We saw it when he was forcibly moved to where he would minister later on in chapter 48. We see it here when he is going to be moved to where he needs to be. We see his hand upon him very heavily the night before the Lord opened up his tongue in chapter 33. We see the hand of the Lord on him. It's a big deal. He is intervening in Ezekiel's life. And so we have this, and he said to me, get up and go out to the plain, there I will speak to you. Ezekiel's commanded to arise. Kum, arise and go, that's the word. Kum, get up. And God commands him to go to the valley, Baca, to the valley where he will speak to him. It says plain, but it's really the word for valley, I think is a better translation. And this is interesting because he says, get up and go to the plain, and there I will speak to him. Wasn't he speaking to him there? Well, he wants to take him to a specific place to speak to him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Now, Dave, as I shared in the beginning of this broadcast, I just want to make clear that's my opinion, and this is my opinion, not anything officially from Equipping the Saints, but let me share this. Today is election day, and we as believers need to get out and vote. We need to vote for the person that most reflects our values as revealed in the Word of God. And as I mentioned earlier, the choice can't be clearer. One party and one candidate supports death, abortion. It's terrible. Don't vote for that party. Don't vote for those people who support things that are contrary to what we believe as believers. We need to support those who support more clearly the things that we support. And we support life and we support righteousness. Now, the other candidate may not be perfect, may not have all the values that we have, but by and large, there's a real clear difference between the two. One is much more supportive of the things that we believe in, and one is not. So get out and vote. It is so important. And even more important than that is pray. Pray for our country. Pray for this nation. Pray this election would be fair and just. Pray for our nation. Pray for God's grace upon it.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.